Well, good evening. It's good to see you back in the house of God, worshiping Him, and I pray that God has taught you this morning, and then I know He will again tonight. We're going to be back in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Romans, chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, continuing the theme of the devolution of man. Tonight, we're talking about the ignorance of man. Devolution of man, the ignorance. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll read the passage together. Father, we do thank you that you love us, that you sent Jesus to die for us. We do thank you that we have opportunities to have a talk with you, that we can come to you in prayer, tell you what's on our mind, tell you what's on our souls, and know that you will listen, that you will answer us. God, it's my prayer tonight, and all of our prayers tonight, that we will hear from you, that you will speak to us. And Lord, that we will be obedient to whatever you call us to do, whatever you lay on our hearts. But above all, may you be worshipped, glorified, and honored in whatever comes of tonight. Lord, I pray that you give me the words to speak, that what is said will come from you and flow through me, Lord, and flow through from your throne. And God, that you will speak to every person here and reveal to us whatever it is, God, you'd have us to know. As we read your word, bless the reading of your word, and we just love you and praise you. We thank you again for all you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Romans 1, verses 21 through 23. You may remain seated tonight as we read. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. May God bless the reading of the word tonight. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. As I said this morning at the end of the passage, as we looked at verse 20, it tells us in verse 20 that we are without excuse. That the creation of the world around us, that the things that God has made, and you know, we always say the trees, is, I guess because we see so many of them, trees and grass and the sky, the seas, all the creation of the world, even humanity itself, each other, and animals, everything that God has created, we cannot deny. While there may be some that deny God exists, there may be some that refuse to believe that God exists, they cannot deny that something brought about what we know. Now, it may be explained by some in many different ways, inaccurately in many cases, but it's interesting to me that those that say we're wrong as creationists, and that say that our God isn't real, and that we are, like I said, the nutcases, as they call us to be. It's interesting to me that they don't believe in God, but yet they try to explain how everything got here. Because they know something that created it. And I told you, I've mentioned this morning the movie Expelled by Ben Stein that came out not too long ago. I don't know if it's still on theaters. If you have a chance to see it, I would encourage you to see it. It's about the evolution intelligent design debate. Now, they talk about intelligent design, and I don't know how that relates to creationism. But anyway, in that movie, those men that and women too, but the men and the women that are interviewed, the atheists, the scientists, the evolutionists, do go as far as saying that what we believe is false. That Christianity, not Christianity, they don't say Christianity, but that there is no God, and that it wasn't created by an intelligent being, and all these things. And I mentioned this morning, jokingly, one of the men in that movie is interviewed and says in the interview that they think it came, that life started off from a molecule in the back of a crystal. I try to say without laughing. That's what some of them believe. And they think what we say is absurd. They think it's absurd that God just spoke everything into existence. And I believe that, and I can see where they would say, well, it's absurd, but that's not, that a molecule, well, I guess that's, well, it's not what we're here to debate. So, anyway, that's what they say. That's what he said. That some people think it came from life came from a molecule on the back of a crystal. So basically, what does that mean? That molecule is their God. I mean, they call themselves atheists, but they worship that molecule because they are doing what they can to explain the complex creation that we have. And if you've ever studied leaves, they're complex. I had to do that in biology and community college. There's nothing more complex than the photosynthesis process. I learned it for the test and forgot it 2 minutes later. I can't imagine how anyone could ever remember that stuff. And it's very complex. Leaves. Okay, those things you pick up in the fall, they get on your nerves. Those things are complex. Forget ice and everything else. Something created it. And even evolutionists will agree with that. Now, they won't say God did, but they believe something, it came from something. They have to. Humans have to. We have to say that because it's obvious that God created, something created what we see. And that being the case in verse 20, that we have no excuse that there is a God, it leads us directly into verse 21, what we read tonight. Because that we knew that there was a God. They knew that God existed. And of course, Paul is talking about, it makes it sound like he's talking about in the past tense, and I'm sure he is, but I don't think it's just past tense. Even today, people know that there's God. How many times you go somewhere and you talk to somebody about God and say, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't go to church. You know, that they say it all the time. You hear it all the time. You know, I believe there's a God, but I don't think I got to go to church. People believe that there's a God somehow, some kind of God. They believe in God. But yet, verse 21 says, they glorify Him not as God. Neither are they thankful. That is the case. That is the degradation of man. That is the immorality of man. That is the downfall of man. That we know that there's a God, but we do not worship Him as God or glorify Him as God, nor are we thankful for Him. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about you, or you wouldn't be here tonight. We do worship God. You and I worship God. But it's reality that many don't. Some know, but they know that there's God, but they don't give Him the worship that He deserves. Instead, mankind lives for itself. That's why it's so difficult to be a Christian. Because our nature is to be selfish. It's me. It's what I want. And I say that, and I think of a teenager I knew at one point that to me epitomized selfishness, but we all do, so I won't talk about him. But I mean, the fact is, we are selfish, aren't we? I mean, I know even in myself, I find myself too often doing what I want to do, when I want to do it. And that might be going out to eat somewhere, but the bottom line, I'm not saying I do bad things, but I do what I want to do. I do what I want to do too many times. I don't take time to minister to others. And I mean, I do, but not like I should. And maybe you don't either. My point is, that's why it's hard to be a Christian. Because the nature of man is to please himself, to do his own thing, to become vain in their imaginations, verse 21 tells us. Become vain and foolish in heart and be darkened in heart to think only of oneself. To not glorify God and to not give thanks to Him. You see, there are many that refuse to glorify and thank God. Now, those same people that say that we're not cases, that say that we're false, that say that what we say we believe isn't real, and those same people that say that God doesn't exist and we came from a molecule on the back of a crystal and a monkey and a tadpole or whatever, those people that say that, those same people believe that do not believe in God, but yet they're willing to take the gifts of God, aren't they? They're not going to go out and kill themselves. They're going to eat the food that God provides. They're going to live on an earth that God allows them to live on. They're going to breathe the air that God gives them. I mean, those people that say that they don't believe in God and say that it's not real and say that it's false and hoax and all that, they're more than willing to take the gifts that God gives. And we all have air, we all have food, we all have shelter, we all have the gifts of God, the basic gifts that God gives humankind. You see, they're not willing to thank God. They're not willing to do what God wants them to do. And they have that darkened heart, but they'll take His gifts. And as a result of not worshiping and not glorifying and not giving thanks, their heart becomes, it tells us verse 21, their heart becomes darkened. They become philosophers. Instead of being worshipers, they become philosophers. You know, and that's one thing, the downfall of philosophy is that we begin to think we don't need God. And just then what verse 22 says, professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools. You know, it's funny, isn't it? God has given mankind is what I mean by that. So, ladies, don't be offended. I'll use womankind then. God has given womankind and mankind, He has given humanity, people, living, breathing, thinking human beings, He has given us brains, hasn't He? And I don't know, I'm not a scientist. I did pretty well in science, but I've always heard that we only use a third of our brain, something like that. Is that right? Anybody vouch for that? I think those teachers should know that. That's what I've always heard. We only use can you believe that? A third of our brain. I mean, we put people on the moon. I don't care if it happened in whatever, 1969 or whatever it was. That still boggles my mind, and I wasn't even alive. That we can put somebody on the moon. Now, why we don't do it anymore, I guess there's no reason to go, but think about that. You go out there and you look, and it looks like the size of a watermelon, and it's half the size of Earth, and that's how far away it is, and we put people there, and they came back. To me, what's more astonishing is that they came back safely. Not only did we get them out there, but we got them back. Now, I understand there's been some tragedies in space exploration, but think about that. We create rocket ships. We go into go to the moon. Look at the technology we have, the internet, computers, and you know, I can push a button and probably my car crank up and drive off. I mean, it's amazing the technology that we have and the medicine we have, and we only use one third of our brain. Can you imagine if we used all of it? But isn't it funny that with all the intelligence God's blessed us with, we outthink ourselves too many times, don't we? We become philosophers. Instead of being worshipers, instead of being like the little child, remember Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and if you're not going to have the face of a child, you can't be my servant. That's what Jesus said. If you're going to believe in me, you got to have the faith of a child, because a child will believe anything. You tell a child 2 plus 2 is 10, they're going to believe 2 plus 2 is 10. And the faith of a child is almost a gullible type of faith, that I'll believe it just because you say it. That's the kind of faith we got to have in God. We got to be worshipers. But when we become philosophers, we begin to outthink ourselves. And we begin to think we're too good. And we begin to try to figure out how things happen. And that's where all the things go wrong. And trying to be wise and trying to be intelligent, we become fools. You see, we got to learn in our lives, first thing tonight we got to learn is that we got to worship and honor God. We got to glorify God. We got to give thanks to God. It says here in verse 21 that those that don't worship God, those that don't give thanks to God, become hardened in their heart, becomes fools in their heart. And they're striving to be wise, they become foolish. We don't want to be that way. The Bible says, the foolish man has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We don't want to be a fool. We want to thank God. We want to honor God. We want to glorify God. Don't be a philosopher. Be a worshiper. Then we look at that idea of the futility of wisdom. The futility of the wisdom of man. You know, sometimes I go back and I think, and not so much in seminary and college, because most of what I learned there was theological and philosophical. Some of the philosophies were things that I don't know that we necessarily believe. I mean, it's just, I don't know that we have to even think about sometimes. Sometimes you talk about things in seminary and you're sitting there thinking, what on earth difference does this make? But anyway, I do remember in community college, more secular type of studying, you know, it's all theory and it's all opinion. It's some guy in whatever Socrates lived, whenever he lived, he said a bunch of things, and everybody thinks he's smart. You know, I mean, I could have said the same things. Nobody would have believed me. They would have thought I was crazy because I don't have whatever he had. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes our wisdom, it is foolishness. And look at the futility of wisdom. Look at the futility of man's wisdom. Verse 23 says, "And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made in the corruptible man and birds and beasts and creeping things." The wisdom of man leads to idolatry, doesn't it? I mean, when you go back and you look in history, look at the Roman Empire. Look at the Greek Empire. Look at the Egyptian Empire. And what conclusion did you come to? Look how many gods they have. I mean, there's a video game out that came out a few years ago called Age of Mythology, based on mythological gods created centuries ago. Because there's so many of them. Because they're so wise, and they know so much, and their wisdom leads them to believe one thing, that there's got to be a God out there. They know there's got to be a God out there, so what do? They create that God. They create an idol. They desire to be more powerful. They desire a God more powerful than them. And isn't that the ironic thing about it? That's the irony of the futility of wisdom. That we become so wise and so intelligent that we realize there's got to be something that created it. Somehow the tree got here. Somehow we got here. So we begin to philosophize and we begin to decide and discover how it happened. And we begin to create gods. We begin to create idols. And we begin to worship other things. We won't accept the true God, but we'll worship an idol. You see, the fact is, everyone believes, whether they accept it or admit it or not, everybody believes that there is something greater, a greater power than themselves. They believe there's a greater power than themselves. And what's funny is that man, just as verse 23 tells us, those same people that don't believe that God exists will create their own God to worship. They say that God doesn't exist. They say there's not a real God. They don't glorify their own God. They don't think their own God, but yet, they will create their own God. Isn't that hilarious? Isn't that the irony of ironies? That there are human beings today that don't believe in the true God that we worship, but yet they believe there's something greater. So what do? They don't believe. They say, we're idiots. Then they go create their own God. They go make up their own God. And it might be a statue. It might be something a little more abstract. We say money sometimes, and that is an idol of God for some. It might be family, it might be power, prestige, whatever. But when you've got that desire within you to know a God, to know something greater than you, and you begin to be thoughtful and you build your philosophy and you use your intelligence, you begin to realize there's got to be something greater. So I'm going to make up this molecule on a crystal, or I'm going to make up this Zeus, or I'm going to make up this statue of a fat bald guy, or I'm gonna make up, you know, Ben Franklin, or whatever. You know, we begin to realize that there is something greater than ourselves. We're too smart to figure it out, and we become too smart from it. We become foolish in our wisdom, and instead of worshiping the true God, instead of giving Him the honor and glory He deserves, and thanking Him, we create our own image in the form of a beast, in the form of a man, a bird, a creeping thing. Look at the very Israelites themselves. Remember that? You know where I'm going with that, don't you? Remember what happened with the Israelites? You know where I'm going. I don't need to say anything else, do I? You come up here and preach the rest of it. You know what I'm talking about, don't you remember? What book? Starts with an E. Remember in Exodus? Y'all remember that? What happened when Moses went up on Mount Sinai? Do you remember what they did while they were waiting for Moses on Mount Sinai? What'd they do? They created a calf because they wanted to worship something. They couldn't. They were impatient, and they knew that they needed something. They had become too smart for no good. They knew that God existed, but they wanted their own God. They wanted to worship. So what did they do instead of worshiping the true God that led them out of Egypt, that got them out of slavery, that obviously did it, and they'd already crossed the Red Sea. They'd already seen His power at work. They'd seen the plagues. But instead of worshiping, glorifying the true God, they created the golden calf. They made their own statue. They made their idol in the form of a beast. You know, I wonder tonight what we worship. I wonder what you worship. You worship an idol? You worship a man-made idol, a piece of wood or a piece of metal? Do you worship money? Do you worship family? Do you worship job? Do you worship power? Do you worship TV? Do you worship TV stars? Heaven forbid if you do. What do you worship? Do you worship the one true God? Do we worship the living God? Who is the subject of our worship? You know, we sit here and we look at what Paul says here in these verses, and we think about the Israelites and the golden calf. We think about other religions and their creations. We think about mythological gods of the ancient history of civilization. We think about all of those things, and we don't ever think ourselves in that line, do we? I don't have a statue at home. I don't have, you know, I don't have anything like that at my house. Or do I? Or do you? What do you worship? You worship and honor the true God. You give thanks to the true God who led you out of captivity, who led you out of sin, who led you out of degradation and corruption into eternal life. Do you worship Him or do you worship something else? Have you made an image in the form of a man, a beast, a bird of the air, a creeping thing, or something else? Or do you worship the uncorruptible, the living, true God? I think tonight we have to understand that and evaluate ourselves. And you know, this morning we were challenged with that and about the wrath of God and the wrath of God being in our lives. And you know, does the wrath of God come in us because of our sin? And tonight I think that kind of goes on. Is are we ignorant? Are we disillusioning ourselves? Are we confusing and deceiving ourselves into thinking that I go to church so I'm good enough? I pay my weekly dues at church, and I do my weekly stuff, and I think there are a lot that go to church, and that's all it is to them. It's their weekly dues. It's their weekly spiritual dues. Go to church. Be seen. Let people know that I go so I can be seen as a decent Christian. But it doesn't mean anything. And what about you? Do you worship the one true living God? There's only one person that can answer that, and that is you. As we sing our hymn invitation tonight, number 165, I want you to consider, and I want you to think about your own life in that sense. Are you like those that worship the idols and make your idols for yourself? Or you glorify and give thanks to God? Where are you in your life? Hymn number 165, we're going to have the time of invitation. I pray that God will speak to you and that you will be obedient. Father, we do thank you for the love you've given us. We do thank you, God, that you have shown us your truth. God, I pray that you would forgive us if we do worship anything other than you. You have saved us. You have given us life. You've led us out of this captivity of sin, corruption. Led us into holiness, righteousness, and eternal life. And I pray that we will give thanks to you, that we will glorify you and worship you the way you deserve and desire to be worshiped. God, if there's one here tonight that is not doing that, I pray for that person that he or she will get their lives, his or her life, right with you. And God, I just pray tonight that you would forgive me where I have sinned, where I have made idols, where I have been selfish, where I have fallen short. May I worship you and glorify you the way you desire and deserve. Speak to us now as we see this time of invitation. Bless us in this, through the remainder of this service. All these things we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Precious.